That's what gets you through
the
day.
That's what gets you
despite
through.
Despite what's happening on a national level, or even in your own backyard, such
right,
as Portland,
totally.
If you live in the area.
Right. And so, I mean, that ties back into public affairs. You've got, like, the queer boo, mm-hmm. the cutie pock talk. That's close to my heart as a non-binary POC person. Hard Knock Radio, you know, we're all about increasing to, like, build a platform for marginalized communities.
Absolutely.
And that's
yeah.
like another big reason why, you know, I feel strongly about this and like why we're here. There's no mm-hmm. other station that is reporting or giving platforms to things like KBOO does.
Probably not even in the country, really. Like maybe they exist, but not
for sure.
Like, yeah. KBOO is its own breed.
50 years yeah. old. So please, 877-500-5266. $15 a month, $180 a year of complete bliss, community, mind-opening conversation, and self-care.
Absolutely.
All that stuff. Yeah.
Now, coming up next, we have the news.
Absolutely. That's our jam.
Our bread and butter,
that's
yeah.
our jam.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 5 o'clock. The evening news is next.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the first annual Park Blocks Bluegrass Festival on Saturday, May 13th at the First Congregational Church in Portland. The Park Blocks Bluegrass Festival brings together bluegrass and folk musicians for a day of performances by over 15 bands, craft beer and cider, food, and tons of jamming. Performers include Cascade Crescendo, Left Coast Country, Caitlin Gemma and the Goodness, and many more. Again, that's the first annual Park Blocks Bluegrass Festival on Saturday, May 13th from 10 a.m. to 1 a.m. the next morning at the First Congregational Church, 1126 Southwest Park Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partner who donated food for our volunteers today. Lunch was provided by Black Bear Dinner, located at 105 Northeast Burnside Road in Gresham, open 7 days a week from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. and serving homestyle cooking. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now. That's 877-500-5266.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on the KBOO Evening News, a police shooting at a TriMet station occurred last night at 7 around Southeast 92nd Avenue and Southeast Flavelle Street.
Acting FBI Director Andrew McCabe goes ahead with Russia investigations.
And we'll be speaking with BARC, the watchdog organization for Mount Hood National Forest.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Thursday, May 11th, 2017. I'm Tom.
And I'm Grace Ann Smith. Around 7 o'clock last night, a 24-year-old male was shot and killed by police around Southeast 92nd Avenue and Southeast Flavelle Street. Terrell Kareem Johnson was allegedly seen threatening several other passengers at the MAC station, which led to the initial 911 call. After the police confronted him, chase was given over the MAC's tracks on the Johnson Creek Bridge, according to initial reports last night. When Johnson's name was released this afternoon, police said that he had brandished a utility knife near the transit officer, Samson Ajir, during the chase, prompting Ajir to shoot. Johnson was declared dead on the scene of multiple gunshot wounds. Mayor Ted Wheeler and Portland Police Bureau Chief Mike Marshman both made an appearance at the scene. Officer Ajir, involved in the shooting, is on paid administrative leave until the end of the investigation, which is the Bureau's policy following officer-involved shootings. More information will not be released until a grand jury reviews the shooting. None of the law enforcement agencies involved in the incident currently use body cameras. Police are soliciting statements from anybody who may have witnessed the shooting.
Friday, May 12th, marks the 7th year since Keaton Otis was shot and killed by Portland police. The 25-year-old was shot 23 times during a traffic stop on the corner of Northeast 6th Avenue and Halsey Street near Lloyd Center. Back in 2010, a grand jury found no criminal wrongdoing on the part of the officers, but community leaders and activists continued to investigate and seek justice. Since his death, a vigil has been held on the 12th of each month on the same corner where Otis was confronted and ultimately died at the hands of the police. This month's vigil is being held at Maranatha Church in Northeast Portland. KBOO reporter Jenna Yokoyama spoke with vigil organizer and Portland NAACP president Joanne Hardesty.
I wish I could say, yes, we are slowly becoming a world-class police force. Unfortunately, I cannot say that. I think that we are not that far from where we were when Keaton Otis was killed by the police. We still have an extremely aggressive police force. We still have this illusion that somehow the police can kill unarmed people and it be justified. And we've had many, many, many of those situations occur since the death of Keaton Otis. In fact, Christopher Kalonji, his mom Irene, has been coming to the monthly vigils because it's a place for community, for community members who've experienced police violence to come and heal and be part of a broader community.
And Christopher Kalonji being the 19-year-old who was killed by Clackamas sheriffs just about over a year ago. These vigils have been held once a month on the 12th since June of 2010. And this is a monthly vigil that you've taken over as an organizer since the passing of Keaton Otis's father. Why is it important for you to continue these monthly vigils?
Well, because I made a promise to his dad that we would not forget Keaton Otis and that we would continue on. And I am proud to say not just me, but other community members have stepped up to make sure that this vigil continues. Surge has been a wonderful partner. Asians for Black Lives Matters has been a wonderful partner. And there are folks that just make sure that every month, even if I can't be there, the vigil takes place. And I'm there 99.9% of the time. But when I can't be, I'm comfortable and confident that other people will hold that space. And I think it's important so that the community understands that we don't forget those lives that have been lost too soon and what the potential that the community had to gain from those young people growing up into adulthood. And so for me, it's something I have to do because it was a promise I made to his dad.
You know, you've mentioned these groups like Surge, the Standing Up for Racial Justice, and Asians for Black Lives here in Portland. Do you see this possible? Is it that change comes through the grassroots?
Oh, it's going to have to come through the grassroots, because what we know is that the Department of Justice is not going to fix what's broken, and especially now with the new leadership, with Sessions being in charge. We also know that police commissioners have not been effective at reducing the violence that police actually display in the community. We also know that when people of color protest peacefully, that the police show up in riot gear on flatbeds ready for a fight, unlike how they show up when white women protest. And so I think there's a heightened awareness that policing is different based on your skin color. So I think that's good news. I think there's a much more public awareness that there's something fundamentally wrong with how we do policing. And so I think that's positive. So I think we're now in the process of building a grassroots support to force policy change at the city council level.
If people are wanting to learn more about Keaton Otis and his case and the group Justice for Keaton Otis, how can people learn more about that?
Yes, they could come to the memorial tomorrow. It will take place at 6 p.m. at Maranatha Church in Northeast Portland at 422 Northeast 12th Avenue. They could also go to Facebook. There is a Justice for Keep Notice Facebook page that has the police transcript and all the information the community has been able to gather in our investigation of what happened to Keep Notice. And so I would also say, if you can't make it, we are on the corner of Northeast 6th and Halsey every month on the 12th from 6 to 7 p.m. I think what's heartwarming for me in these vigils is that every month new people show up. People who've just heard the story show up and want to know, what can I do to help? I think that's the legacy of Keep Notice, is that community members understand what happened to him wasn't fair, it wasn't just, and they want to do something about it.
That was Joanne Hardesty, Portland NAACP president and host of the KBOO radio show, Voices from the Edge. For the KBOO Evening News, I'm Jenny Yokoyama.
KBOO volunteers have stepped up their game to bring you this locally produced newscast every single evening. So now we are asking you to do the same. Joining us now are Kyle Carezzi and Zelos Marchand to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Hello.
Hello.
We're pitching our right now.
We're supporting our daily, fresh, volunteer-produced newscast.
Absolutely.
And I am so excited to just say that, because it is just the foundation of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. We've been talking a lot about feelings. Kyle, thanks a lot for making me talk about my feelings earlier. Uh-huh. But I do think it's important, because we were talking about community and how every day we have community members, whether it's somebody like from the Youth Collective, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. Shout out to the Youth Collective. Love you guys. Boop. Or, you know, when we're talking with sources that are coming through the newsroom, or just other volunteers, like we've made so many connections just in the newsroom, that is why KBOO is here. You couldn't just walk into a regular, you know, newspaper office and make a not just a professional contact, but like a friend,
an actual community member,
somebody that you can see on an everyday basis and just talk openly with. And that is priceless. That's something that you just don't get anymore.
No, and I think the ultimate function of radio is to establish that human connection with the audience. And that's something you can help out giving maybe $25 a month.
That's right.
And you can call us. We have people on the phones taking your calls. And that number again is 877-500-5266, or go on kboo.fm. And I say $25 a month specifically because if you donate that amount, which is a $300 minimum pledge, you can get the KBOO hoodie.
Believe me, it is a coveted hoodie.
When you put it on, it feels like a hug.
That
is a metaphor to what KBOO Community Radio offers its community.
I would like to second that. I have a KBOO hoodie, and folks, we are not being sensational here.
It literally is
high quality fleece under here. It's like definitely a metaphor for keeping the cold off of you in today's world.
Political
so definitely
climate.
Give us a call. 877-500-5266. You know, you donate that $25, it's a hoodie that you get, the best hoodie.
And also, I just want a quick thank you to Jen and Ramona, both from Northeast Portland, who donated from the website.
Awesome.
So thank you, guys.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely.
I might need a new rib cage, because my heart keeps growing every time somebody donates.
That's what the pledge drive's all about.
It does make me feel good. The people are supporting, KBOO and community and our news. So definitely give us a call. Just let's just see how big my heart can get.
That's one of the things I like about KBOO and the news. It's taking something from nothing. Just people giving like their support and their efforts, and then we have this thing we can offer, which is the KBOO Evening News.
KBOO Evening News. That's right.
The FBI has announced that they will not keep the White House notified of their ongoing probe into the Russia-Trump connection that might have taken place during the elections of 2016. James Comey was recently fired for, according to the White House, being incompetent and losing the support of his staff, among other reasons. However, new acting head of the FBI, Andrew McCabe, has contradicted the White House, stating that, quote, The vast majority of FBI employees enjoyed a deep, positive connection to Director Comey, end quote. McCabe also contradicted the White House's denial that the FBI's probe into the Russian involvement during the elections was one of the smallest things on the FBI's plate, stating that, quote, "We consider it to be a highly significant investigation," end quote. Oregon's general attorney, Ellen Rosenblum, has joined several other states in declaring that, quote, "an independent special counsel," end quote, should be appointed to support the ongoing FBI investigation. When asked by Senator Rubio of Florida if the dismissal of Comey had negatively affected the investigations, McCabe stated, quote, "Simply put, sir, you cannot stop the men and women of the FBI from doing the right thing, protecting the American people, and upholding the Constitution," end quote.
An astrophysicist at the University of Cincinnati has released an interactive map of racial distribution in the United States. It's not necessarily a new idea, but the map uses state-of-the-art NASA maps and the most recent census data to paint a shifting picture of diversity and segregation over the past 30 years. KBOO reporter Sam Bowman has more in conjunction with the Oregon News Service.
A recent history of the United States changing racial demographics might be best viewed from space. That's the approach Thomas Stepinski, a professor of space exploration at the University of Cincinnati, has taken. Stepinski is an astrophysicist by trade, but had the idea that he could use the incredibly detailed maps NASA satellites collect and map the racial makeup of America's neighborhoods. So he took data from the 1990, 2000, and 2010 censuses and overlaid them on the maps. Stepinski says the census is often hard to read and the maps make its data more accessible.
Nobody except a specialist can easily digest and see the result. So I thought it would be a great benefit to a lot of people to just do this in a way that everybody can use it.
The maps are available on the University of Cincinnati's website. In Oregon, they show some of the legacies of the state's segregation laws from the early 20th century and some of the fault lines they created still slowly eroding. Stepinski hopes the maps can help improve the census in 2020. The maps give a vivid image of the breakup of segregation in the United States. Stepinski says white neighborhoods are becoming more diverse, and at the same time, new neighborhoods of predominantly Hispanic and Asian Americans pop up. The maps show black neighborhoods have remained relatively unchanged. Overall, it's clear from the maps that segregation still exists.
Segregation in the United States has been as long as there is the United States. So, in fact, what is happening is that it does change for more diverse, but it's a slow change.
The maps are meant to be a sociological tool. Last month, Stepinski presented his work at the Population Association of America conference in Chicago. Stepinski's largely computational data made him stand out among sociologists who aren't necessarily trained to think in mathematical terms in their field. But Stepinski says academic disciplines can benefit from a fresh pair of eyes.
Sometimes it is good to have somebody from a different discipline to make some changes to the established routine, and that's what we have done here.
For KBOO Evening News, in conjunction with the Oregon News Service, I'm Sam Bowman.
You can explore Professor Stepinski's maps at sil.uc.edu/CMS.
1,500 Palestinians have entered their fourth week of a hunger strike. They're demanding better conditions, family visits, and an end to the practice of holding prisoners indefinitely without charges. In a statement of solidarity, a group of prisoners in immigration prisons in Washington state who held a three-week hunger strike last month say that they see the same systems of oppression, colonization, and racism at play in Palestine and the U.S. KBOO's Jenka Soderberg spoke with Maru Mora Viapondo with the Northwest Detention Center Resistance Movement for more.
We have been able to communicate with people inside of the other hunger strikes, especially the hundreds of people also in Palestine going through that same situation. And people have told us they want to get somehow the message of solidarity across borders. Also, there was another hunger strike happening in a prison here in the United States in Riverside, California, where also hundreds of prisoners decided to go on hunger strike. So they were aware of this. Our role was precisely to inform them about it. And for them, it's really critical to build this solidarity and this understanding of intersectionality of how different systems in different places are operating people of color throughout the world.
Well, and in another twist of irony, some of the same companies are involved. The Geo Group has contracts with the Israeli government and is also a private prison operator in the United States that operates immigration facilities mainly, but also private prisons for U.S. citizen prisoners. Are people generally in Central and South America waking up to the reality of the situation in Palestine?
Not so much. We face a lot of people that, because they come running from violence, running from different types of oppression, that they feel that the only way they can be safe from that violence is to come to this country and try to assimilate. And that means going with the mainstream, in this case pro-Israel, without having this clear understanding of what that actually means, especially for people in Palestine. So I think that this internal oppression that we all carry as people of color, as oppressed people, it's much more harder to unpack once we arrive in this country and we're told that we need to become American, that otherwise we would not be accepted, and that we need to even undo all the culture understanding that we have from our country. So although we have some people, especially people from prisons, because let me remind your audience that we're not talking about undocumented people. We're talking about all immigrants, even those that are documented. And we have a large population in the detention center in Tacoma that are especially men, some women too. The capacity for men is larger at the detention center than for women. According to the binary of the system, is that they do have a better understanding of some of these politics and international politics that for people that are currently arriving and requesting asylum. So we do see a lot of pressure, especially from religious entities and from the far right wing, the ultra right wing, arriving in our countries for some years now and building this Zionist vision of the world in our countries, in Mexico and Central America.
Well, thank you so much for joining us again. We've been speaking with Marumora Villafondo. She is a strong advocate for immigrant rights and a part of NWDC Resistance. NWDC Resistance is a grassroots undocumented-led movement that works to end the detention of immigrants and stop all deportations. NWDC being a reference to the Northwest Detention Center, which is the major detention center for immigrants in the Pacific Northwest in Tacoma, Washington. This is Jenka Soderberg reporting.
You are listening to a membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. Our volunteers work very hard every day to bring you this coverage of local, national, and international news. So now it's your turn. Joining us once again are Zello Celis Marchand and Kyle Carrezzi to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
I wonder what Amy Goodman's doing right now.
Me too.
Yeah.
I wonder what she's eating.
Probably a meal.
Probably a meal.
But yeah, we play Democracy Now! 4 to 5 on weekdays. And right now we're listening to the KBOO Evening News. Mm-hmm. And in the middle of our pledge drive, we have people answering the phones if you want to donate. And that number is 877-500-5266 or give on kboo.fm online.
That's right. I often ask myself, what would Amy do? What would Amy do? There's been a couple times I'm like,
W-W-A-G-D.
What would Amy do?
Yeah.
I think Amy would donate. I think Amy would totally donate to what we're doing. I mean, we're all pretty much best friends over here, you know. Journalists, it's a journalist club.
Yeah.
But yeah, because Amy and you, of course, dear audience, believe in awesome community and public affairs, mm-hmm. which we are totally dedicated to. You're listening to some really awesome stories that our volunteer newscast is put together. I can tell you, folks, these people are one of the most stand-up group of human beings I've ever met. We work really hard to bring not just hard news to you, but also features and editorials that give you a really a wider macrocosm look at things. We've had anywhere from covering Hanford, where we had Chuck Johnson on, who was the joint task force on nuclear power, and on the advisory board for that, who we spoke to the other day, play by play about what was going on there, and we'll definitely have him on again. We've had POC, people of color, artists from the community, Layla from Sankofa and the Ori Gallery, Zach Kramer, who is, I think, just on the other day, he was a photojournalist who went down to South America and worked with the guerrilla, Farcan guerrilla, and they're having a peace deal right now.
Okay.
Via the UN, and so they're getting ready to they're disbanding right now and are going to be working their way back into the community. That was a really fascinating in-depth that we had.
That sounds like that'd be a really good talk.
It was wonderful. You can't get these stories anywhere else, and we work really hard to bring them to everybody out there, because everyone deserves to know what other human beings are doing for real, not under a brand, not under a money trail.
No.
Pure, straight human interaction. So that's what we're about.
We need that membership support. We need, it's just, that is what KBOO is all about. And again, that number, I'll say it again, 877-500-5266, or go online, kboo.fm.
That's right. And $10? $10
a month? $10 a month, yeah.
$120 a year? That's even less than, I think, what people spend at a coffee shop.
Yeah, or it's a,
or an online dating profile.
Maybe
depending,
like,
on where you're going for that.
It's like two burritos a month, a burrito two and a half perhaps, a if you go somewhere pricey.
Yes, that's right. Only, as I am quick to point out, a lifetime of joy from that, whereas the burrito might not work out.
No.
You don't know. But here, KBOO works out. It is one of those perennial
wisdom. We take something
wisdom
from nothing every day, and it's amazing.
It is. It's pretty...
I'm the producer of the news on Wednesdays.
You sure are.
As you know.
Yes,
I do.
As you
also work behind the scenes.
I love it.
And it's just, I just find it very invigorating to take something from nothing and just make, just produce a show and make it happen and then like share it with people. Like, it's just superb.
And we couldn't do it without you.
Yeah.
We couldn't do it with our listeners.
You're the most important part.
You are the most important part. And it's why we do that. 877-500-5266, and yes, that's why we do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested in this something from nothing. Does it feel like there's a nothingness out there that we're sorting through, or that you're sorting through as a producer, Kyle?
Define nothingness.
I think that's gonna be another pitch break.
I'm not trying to get up abstract, but it's like not nothing in terms of like the literal nothing, but like, you have a free hour, you start off with no content, and then all of a sudden,
volunteers
show up.
That's
people
right.
come in with audio. People write stories, and you take all of that and
it's
then
exciting.
Make a show out of it. And it's just,
it's awesome.
It's incredible
it
to
is pretty,
do that
right.
on a daily basis.
And exactly, and that we're not into censorship. We're not into here. Show us your important papers that prove that you're an actually smart human being. That's not what it's about, and it's not what journalism is about, right? It's about every one of us are citizen journalists. Every one of us are a part of this process.
Yeah, it's all about what you're willing to give as a journalist and human being.
For sure. They're interconnected. 877-500-5266. $10. $120 a month.
A burrito and a half a month.
A burrito
Maybe
and a half a month.
Two burritos if you know of a good spot to get
Right, them. $10. And you're fueling not just, you're fueling your community. So please, give us a call, 877-500-5266.
I know this song.
Let's roll on into the news.
You're listening to a membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. Go ahead and call 877-500-5266 to make your pledge and become a member today. Stay tuned for KBOO News In-Depth at 5:45, featuring a story by Karen James about potential changes at the controversial Behavioral Health Unit at Oregon State Penitentiary in Salem. That's followed by Rose City Native at 6. At 7, it's Hard Knock Radio, news and views from a hip-hop perspective. Tomorrow's weather will be rainy and cold with a high of 58 and a chance of thunderstorms through the morning. Today in history, May 11th, It was a good day for Nazi hunters. In 1960, Israeli Mossad agents captured Adolf Eichmann, one of the principal organizers of the Holocaust, in Buenos Aires, Argentina. And in 1987, Klaus Barbie went on trial in Lyon, France, for war crimes committed when he was a leader of the Gestapo in that city during the German occupation. The quote of the day is from birthday boy Salvador Dali, the Spanish surrealist. Quote, "I don't do drugs, I am drugs," end quote.
We are joined in the studio now by Scotty and Courtney, who are with BARC, a nonprofit devoted to protecting the forest in Mount Hood area. Hello.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Thanks for coming in. For starters, can you tell us a little bit about the changes you have seen or see coming under the new administration?
Yeah, for sure. It's been years since we've seen large-scale clear cuts proposed in Mount Hood National Forest, and for good reason. Since then, we've learned that there's a really crucial role for forests in curbing the impacts of climate change locally, and that actually clear cuts are net emitters of carbon dioxide for 10 to 15 years after logging. We've also learned that logging will never replicate the role of natural fire in shaping the landscape, so providing habitat for so many species, really too many like to mention. But with the current political climate, extractive industries all over the world are emboldened and will be pushing, you know, for more profit and less public oversight. Approval of some of the projects that we're looking at right now, like the Hunter Project, which includes a 98-acre clear cut, would send a clear message to the timber industry that their voice is strong, is maybe the strongest, and that they can expect projects like this to become the norm. We definitely don't want that on Mount Hood National Forest, and it's kind of up to us here in the Pacific Northwest to hold the line against that kind of extractive presence.
Oh, absolutely. And can you tell us a bit about your event coming up on this Mother's Day?
Yeah, it's the Mother's Day hike. It's on the 14th. We're going to be meeting at Trader Joe's at 9 o'clock. But we're going to be kind of going over with the hike is just some values that BARC really enjoys. Some fire ecology and talking about how wildfires are going to keep increasing as time rolls on with the climate change facing us. And also just looking at beautiful flowers throughout the Clackamas region that have been affected by fire and how it has regenerative properties. And we also need, like, if you're going to join us on Sunday, make sure to bring water, food, and some good pairs of shoes.
Scotty, you said you're going to meet at Trader Joe's. Which Trader Joe's are you going to meet at?
Oh, we're going to be meeting at the Hollywood Trader Joe's.
Good question.
It's a great place to bring your mom.
Yeah.
We do a Mother's Day hike every year, and besides seeing wildflowers in the region, this is the perfect time of year, there's also newts.
Yes, there's going to be some breeding newts. I actually scouted out the area, and they should be out there this weekend. And it'll be a cool thing to see some Mother's Day being made.
Mm-hmm. So that's going to be Trader Joe's in Hollywood at 9 a.m. the 14th. And what should people bring?
Water, food, and
Camera.
Great. And what are BARC's most critical concerns at the moment, aside from what you just mentioned before?
Well, it's really more of that, you know. The Hunter Project that I just mentioned contains a 100-acre clear cut. That is the first project that has been planned with that size of clear cut in a decade. It's something that we didn't expect would continue to happen in our part of the world. But we know that there is a lot of pressure from the timber industry, and the Forest Service is planning larger and larger projects. The most recent project that was proposed is the Crystal Clear, what they're referring to as a restoration project. That's a proposal to log over 13,000 acres. The island of Manhattan is about 15,000 acres. So if you can imagine that much logging in an area that is actually mature forest, it will approach old growth if it is left to develop, you know, along its own ecological timeline. But we know that the Forest Service is actually pushing to turn that into a commodification and, you know, extract that resource instead of preserving it for the future.
Mm-hmm. And if our listeners can't make it out this Sunday but still want to get involved, what can they do?
That's great. You should definitely come on Sunday if you can. But then on the following Monday, we have an ecology club. That's an event that we have every month as well. And we're piloting a board game that was developed by some of our volunteers to take the process of ground truthing, which is what we do and our volunteers do to document conditions in the forest, especially in areas that are proposed to be logged. But we've turned that into a board game that can be played as a team. It's kind of a combination of a role-playing game and a traditional board game, and it will give folks kind of an idea of what we look for when we go out to the forest in ground truth.
And this ecology club, where does that meet?
That meets at our office. The address is 351 Northeast 18th Avenue. We are in the lower level of the building across from the circuit climbing gym. Starts at 6:30. Kids are welcome. We have another game there called Wildcraft. That is a kids game kind of focused on helping children understand the different uses of herbs and other plants in healing and things like that. So kids welcome for sure.
Great. So Ecology Club, 351 Northeast 18th Avenue at 6:30. Every Monday?
It's the second Monday
every
month.
Monday. Great. And this board game and card game, is that only available at your offices?
For now. This has just recently been developed by a couple of volunteers. It was something that we did practice once at the Environmental Law Conference in March, and it went pretty well. We've modified it a little bit, and we're hoping to get people's feedback on to how well the gameplay works. If we can make it happen, we would love to get it produced as a real game. That would be awesome.
That would be great. So this has been BARC. They are watchdogs for the nonprofit Protecting Mount Hood's Natural Areas, and they are doing a Mother's Day walk at 9 a.m. Hollywood Trader Joe's up on Mount Hood. Anything else you'd like to add before we conclude?
I think it'd be great to have folks out there. There's a lot going on in the forest in the summertime, especially beginning right now is when you start to see everything emerge. There's a lot to learn about as far as wildlife and plant life, obviously, but we want people to feel really connected to this forest that is our backyard. So hope to see you there.
Thank you both. And back to the news. The Mormon Church, the biggest sponsor of Boy Scout troops in the United States, announced that it is pulling as many as 185,000 older youths from the Scouts as part of an effort to start its own scouting program. Saying it wants its own program that is more closely tailored to Mormon teenagers, the church announced that boys ages 14 to 18 will no longer participate in the Boy Scouts starting next year. The loss is just a fraction of the 2.3 million youths in the Boy Scouts of America, but the organization has faced declining membership in recent years and has had a very close bond with the Mormon Church for more than a century. According to Matthew Bowman, a Mormon scholar and history professor at Henderson State University, quote, "The church is wedded very much to traditional gender roles, and they see the Boy Scouts of America increasingly moving away from that," end quote.
President Trump has signed an executive order to modernize and improve the nation's computer networks and protect critical infrastructure from cyber attacks. The order outlines plans to improve the network security of the U.S. government agencies. One new requirement is that agency heads are accountable for implementing risk management measures and updating their systems. In 2015, the Office of Personnel Management announced it had been a target of a data breach affecting the records of more than 20 million American citizens. The digital rights advocacy group Access Now issued a statement asserting that the executive order represents just incremental changes to existing policies. The order also carves out a misguided role for the military in protecting critical infrastructure. According to Drew Mitnick of Access Now, quote, "The action does not touch several critical areas like the insecurity of the Internet of Things, devices, data breaches, or vulnerability disclosure," end quote.
Brigitte Macron, the wife of France's new president-elect, is a rather unusual first lady. She met her future husband, Emmanuel, when he was 15 and she was his 39-year-old drama teacher, married with three children. She and his parents tried to discourage him from pursuing her. According to Brigitte, they did not have what she called a, quote, carnal relationship when he was in high school, but he eventually won her over. She has been present at every stage of his political career, coaching him on his speeches and public demeanor. He treats her as an equal partner and says she will define her own future role. The couple is stirring a hot debate in France about sexism, ageism, masculinity, and marriage, and what a modern French first lady should actually be.
Now is your chance to show support for the work of the volunteers that put in to bring you this newscast, rain or shine, every weekday throughout the year. Joining us now are Kyle Carezzi and Zelos Zelos Marchand to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Oh my, here we are back in the pledge room again.
Indeed.
In the wake.
Welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
And I was talking to the audience.
Oh, but right, right.
We've been sitting here for the past hour trying to convince.
It's been an hour over. It's almost been 2 hours.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, time flies
when
you're.
It does fly. We're in a very special, magical place, and many people say that when they come through the doors of KBOO, it's a special, magically blessed place. And I say yes. In the wake of so many executive orders that are going nowhere, KBOO is going somewhere.
Yes.
It's going somewhere.
In a world where it feels like you're perpetually wiping out on a boogie board,
right.
You know.
But not here. It's
not
a
here.
Special. I hear we've got, you know, there's actually, I think, ancient magic protecting KBOO.
I'm listening.
It's, I can't divulge that on the air because then it wouldn't be like hermetic or something.
Okay, fair
but
enough.
But part of that magic is our listeners, as you well know, is our listeners continually supporting us and propelling us into the future in the wake of so much surrealness. 877-500-5266. Please donate $10 a month. As Kyle was mentioning earlier, that breaks down to about two burritos
where I get burritos.
Okay.
But also maybe a burrito, and I don't know what the going price for
right
a burrito
we don't know
is,
whether it's happy hour or not. That's a whole other matter
discussion.
But that's the not a lot though is what that is, and that continues to give rise to our magic, our special corner of the world where we are delivering freedom of information. We're doing really great stories, like anywhere from inspiring stories about what's happening in France with Macron.
Yeah,
that's really inspiring.
I don't know too much about the political climate there, but from just
complex, like most places.
Oh yeah, so I can't like say this was, but like it seems like a close call just compared to like who the other candidate was and how similar they were to a certain someone who's in office right now.
Right.
I'm not going to say any names.
We're not going to name anybody. I mean, you can listen to the news for that. That's
just how worse could it possibly be?
Right. But that was inspiring. And then just, you know, the story about the Boy Scouts, you know, the stories we're talking about given what's going on our presidency. I was mentioning earlier our public affairs where we've done, you know, we were covering anything from like Hanford and having our contacts on for that to just covering photojournalists that, you know, have spent time in other parts of the world that are coming back to KBOO and then talking about it, which I might add personally, professionally, like that's
dedication.
That is dedication, but also like so important for what we're doing. 877-500-5266, $10 a month, lifetime of joy, knowing that you are a part of helping journalists reach neighborhoods, communities, families.
Part of the voice, part of culture,
part of the voice.
Part of community.
Yeah, and yeah, totally.
We have volunteers accepting your calls. And again, as punctuation, the number is 877-500-5266.
We now go to KBOO reporter Karen James for an in-depth report on potential changes to the way prisoners with behavioral health issues are treated at the Oregon State Penitentiary.
After an investigation by Disability Rights Oregon of the conditions in the Oregon State Penitentiary Behavioral Health Unit, Disability Rights Oregon entered into a memorandum of understanding with the Oregon Department of Corrections to improve conditions at the prison. In its first annual report on the agreement, Disability Rights Oregon says that Oregon's most seriously mentally ill prisoners continue to be held in solitary confinement. I'm speaking with Joel Greenberg, the attorney with Disability Rights Oregon, responsible for this report, behind the 11th door, 1 year later. Joel, what is the behavioral health unit at the Oregon State Penitentiary, and how many prisoners are in this unit?
The behavioral health unit normally contains or houses about 40 different men. It's a male-only unit, and it's a unit that was designed to take prisoners most severely impacted by mental illness within the entire ODOC population and put them into one unit where they could get some clinical support and learn some skills that would help them moderate their behavior, which had made them unable to navigate and exist safely within other units in the prison system.
And you were involved in the initial investigation that led to the Memorandum of Understanding with the Oregon Department of Corrections. What did you uncover in the behavioral health unit at the prison during that investigation?
Well, to begin with, the unit represents an idea that we fully support. It was, as I said, designed to increase the clinical assistance and support that was available to these severely mentally ill individuals. However, what we found was that conditions in the unit, for a number of reasons, had devolved into a truly unacceptable situation in which there were many problems, the largest of which was that the inmates in this unit were confined to their cells for over 23 hours a day in most instances, and some never came out for weeks or months at a time, other than to take a shower, and rarely, if ever, for that. In addition, the unit had become dominated by security concerns to an extent that the clinical folks no longer had a significant voice in decisions about how the unit was run and how the behavior of the inmates was dealt with or addressed. This resulted in a lot of violent and gut-wrenching cell extractions in which teams of five or six heavily armored correctional officers with a plastic shield and mace or a taser would order an inmate to cuff up, meaning to back himself up to the tiny opening in front of his cell and submit to being handcuffed. This usually occurred when inmates were completely dysregulated and psychotic. So when they refused to do this, the team of correctional officers would open the door and either spray or taser the individual and then knock him to the ground and subdue him and make him do whatever it was that he had refused to do that led to the incident.
So the Department of Corrections in 2016 signed a Memorandum of Understanding agreeing to do what?
Basically, the guts of the agreement were that over the course of the 4 years of the agreement, that the Department of Corrections in the Behavioral Health Unit would take the steps that we collaboratively decided would help them reach the goal of the agreement, which was to reach an average of 20 hours of time out of cell for the individuals in the unit.
And then this past year, you continued to monitor the progress in the prison to improve conditions. What were your findings during the past year?
A number of things improved tremendously. The use of force was reduced significantly, as were the incidents of self-harm, which had been a horrible problem in the past, and suicide watches, again, a serious problem in the unit. On the negative side of the ledger, we found that progress toward the 20 hours per week goal was minimal. The current average per week for inmates in the BHU is about between 4 and 5 hours a week out of cell, so it's far short of the 20 hours that's envisioned.
And why is this so important to have more out-of-cell time for seriously mentally ill prisoners or any prisoners?
It's generally well established now by a number of researchers that this kind of extreme isolation can actually cause mental illness, particularly in adolescents and children, but it can cause mental illness in healthy individuals, and it's very clear that in addition, individuals who already are impacted by serious mental illness are very likely to become psychotic and decompensate even further because of isolation. It's important for people who have serious mental illness to learn social skills, to learn skills of regulation, and to be in contact with other human beings. Absent those things, their behavior is likely to become more dangerous, certainly worse for their mental health. And those two things mean that the safety of the people housed in the BHU and the correctional officers and clinicians who work there are all put in danger.
And what was ODOC's reason for this failure to increase the out-of-cell time for these prisoners?
I won't speak for ODOC other than to say I think ODOC and DRO agree that the facility itself is very inadequate for the task. There is a new facility that's being constructed, and they are hoping that when the new building, which is to begin construction and shortly, is online, that they will do much better toward reaching the goal.
Joel, your report indicates that there is a power struggle between the clinical staff and the security staff in the prison behavioral health unit.
Understandably, correctional folks have a primary concern with security. And one of the ways they believe security is fostered is by making sure that there's a consequence for misbehavior and rule infractions. So their response to poor behavior by folks who really have very little ability to regulate that behavior is punishment. That's an understandable perspective, but it's not one that fits very well with the goals of the unit, which are to temper that kind of response with clinical knowledge and a clinical approach, which would be more involved with reinforcing positive behavior rather than punishing negative behavior. And it's our opinion that at this point, the security perspective has become overly dominant in the unit to the detriment of the staff, the prisoners who live there, and the clinicians. And the way this translates in a particular day, according to clinicians who've talked to us, is the security people have an incredible amount of power in that they control when doors open and close throughout the institution. This means that a clinician who is not favorably viewed by a particular correctional officer could end up waiting between two locked doors for long periods of time. And the way this plays out is that a clinician who wants to see a particular client can spend 20, 30, and even 60 minutes waiting between two locked gates or doors, trying to get from one building to another to have access to her patients. This results in much less clinical support for the patients than is planned or is necessary for them, and poor safety for patients, clinicians, and the security staff who work in the unit.
And your report also states that there is a disproportionate high frequency of disciplinary referrals against prisoners by the behavioral health unit security team.
We believe that part of the struggle between the clinical and security perspectives is that the security folks are using various tools at their disposal to punish poorly behaving inmates in the BHU. One of the primary ones that they're using is 24, 48, and 72-hour sell-ins, which means that despite the goal of trying to reach 20 hours a week, they're selling these folks in for up to 3 days at a time for things such as disrespect.
So this is 1 year after the signing of the Memorandum of Understanding, and people with mental illness are still experiencing solitary confinement at the Oregon State Penitentiary. At what point would Disability Rights Oregon take legal action against the Oregon Department of Corrections?
That is not our preferred solution. That's why we signed the Memorandum of Understanding. But at some point, if it becomes clear to us that progress is not adequate and that the goal is not going to be reached in any foreseeable and reasonable amount of time, we would reconsider the advisability of legal action.
So what does Disability Rights Oregon recommend to the Department of Corrections at this time?
Our primary recommendation is that they address the imbalance of power, whether they acknowledge it or not, by including the clinical staff and clinical unit leaders in the hiring process to make sure that security officers who work in the unit have some understanding of the clinical perspective and the need to treat these folks rather than punish them whenever they misbehave.
And Joel, where can people find the DRO report behind the 11th door 1 year later?
That report and the original report, which we produced about a year ago, is on our website, droregon.org.
I've been speaking with Disability Rights Oregon attorney Joel Greenberg. For KBOO News, I'm Karen James.
You are listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Tom Flynn, Karen James, Doug McVeigh, Grace Ann Smith, and Jenna Yokoyama. The producer is Sam Bowman. Our engineer is Matthew Olson. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Zelos Marchand. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at KBOO News. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Grace Ann Smith.
And I'm Tom. Coming up tomorrow, on Friday, May 12th, on KBOO at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, Positively Revolting. Ani and Lynn take your calls. At 9, Beloved Community addresses the spiritual foundations of nonviolence, activism, political engagement, and peace building. At 10, Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, The Digital Divide talks to cybersecurity author Jeffrey Carr, who challenges the narrative that Russia hacked the DNC emails. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not a current member, you can become one by going to KBOO FM and clicking on Donate. Good night, Grace Ann.
Good night, Tom.
Good night, Matt.
Good night.
And that's the way the news goes. All right, another hour in the bag.
Did you
great
just
job.
Do a hip hop lyric?
No,
way news goes.
No, I was going for a Rick and Morty reference.
Okay.
It's a catchphrase in that show.
Well.
But yeah, another hour in the bag. It's available as a podcast.
It is. And you know, if you go online, the news is archived digitally, and we also have in-depths that are uploaded. So, you know, you'll get fuller versions of that as well. And that's exciting. You get to hear all sorts of interviews and ideas that you didn't get to listen to in the live broadcast. Mm-hmm. Live as in, like, you know, what's coming, probably piping through somebody's car right now. But but there it is. That's also why we need your help. Mm-hmm. Your help, your awesome energy in our community.
During the first day of our pledge drive.
It's the first day.
We have a room full of volunteers answering your calls. And that number again is 877-500-5266. Or go online and go to kboo.fm to give.
Yes. And, you know, you were going to mention what they could give. And what would that equate to?
What would equate to?
You were talking about the amount to give. It would be $6? $6 a month?
I suggested $6 a month because it's a good price. It's a price of a burrito,
Burrito. We've been pricing things by burritos these days.
$72 a year.
Mm-hmm.
If you can afford a burrito, you can totally give to KBOO. Absolutely.
Is that 72 burritos a year then that would equate to?
No, it'd be 12. If it's a monthly burrito, then it'd be 12 burritos. Unless the burritos were a dollar each.
You know, donating to KBOO would be so much better than 12 burritos. Not breaking it down like that.
That'll be overwhelming.
I didn't think about that. If 72, I was like, that's a lot. But if it's 12 burritos, I would rather donate to KBOO.
Yeah.
I would much rather, because you get so much more out of that.
Yeah, you can give the donation from your burrito budget.
You get a radio station, but it's not just any radio station. It's like the radio station for the future.
Mm-hmm. I think so. Especially for the tension of the political climate.
But we've been talking also beyond that, like just like the community aspect of it, the fact that we're real people with real lives and no agenda, that are out here just wanting to make sure that marginalized people will get a platform. We've been talking about like our awesome public affairs.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Which
hosts
we both participate in. Totally.
Yes, we do. Yeah, I got the Cutie Pock Talk thing going on. And then as far as the news, like getting journalists from who are traveling from other countries, getting news in here, getting artists here in Portland, you know, onto the news, talking about what it's like to be them. 877-500-5266 or going online to kboo.fm.
And click on the button, donate.
Donate, yes. All this
And your can be yours.
Yes.
It is yours,
only
really,
for the
actually.
Price of a burrito a month. Yeah.
Right. Actually, it is yours.
If you're listening right now.
Speaking it really clear, it's not contingent.
KBOO belongs to the people. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. It's for you. We live for you. We live to make sure that your voice is heard.
Mm-hmm.
Like 24/7, literally 24/7, 7 days a week. There's still 7 days in the week, right? Sometimes it feels like 10.
Feels like an eternity sometimes, especially when I listen to the
right,
news.
Totally. 877-500-5266. $6 a month.
The price of a burrito.
That's right. That's what we were saying.
$72
a year.
Yeah.
12 burritos. That's what that would equate to. That's not a, you don't, just forget the burritos. Don't eat. That's like you could make it at home, and it's home cooked food anyway.
You can
just
put in your own ingredients for a better price.
So
probably.
Save that, and then just donate to KBOO, and then you will get to have more news and public affairs at the top of the. I think the news hour we were talking about the stories we broke.
Yeah,
just in the last was it 4 or 5 months
there's
or so?
There's always some invigorating story going on the station.
For sure,
just
true.
From the effort
true.
Of the volunteers
true.
Who come in.
Yes.
It's amazing. It's amazing every day.
It is amazing every day. I'm super impressed by our awesome community in the news in the newsroom. 877-500-5266. $6 a month. $72 a year.
877-500.
Forget the burritos. Just donate.
5266.
That's right.
Yes.
It's all for you. Are we still talking? Oh, man. They're telling me I have 5 seconds. Seriously, donate.
All right. 877-500-5266.
$6 a month, yo.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 6 o'clock. Up next, Rose City Native Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to be a founding sponsor of the Waterfront Blues Festival. This year, the festival will be held June 30th through July 4th at Tom McCall Waterfront Park. Festival passes are on sale now, including the Blues Buddy Pass and the Basic 5-Day Pass at early bird prices. More information about the passes, the festival, and more can be found at kboo.fm/WBF2017.
You are listening to a digital indigenous radio show.